Good morning. Welcome to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week we're talking about community gardens. Community gardens are plots of ground in your neighborhood where you can rent a space for the season and grow whatever it is you want to grow to eat. And my guests today are two people involved with that, Mary Blake, director of the Sunset Parks and Rec, involved with the development of new gardens in Seaside, and Sharon Anderson, coordinator of the Warrenton and Hammond Community Gardens. Welcome. Let's talk about, we've got, last time we talked, you were just getting ready to break ground in the Seaside Garden. So what's happened since the last time we talked?
Well, you know, this is an exciting time for us, Anne, is that we're all growing together. The community garden started quite a number of years ago under the leadership of Sonny Hunt through the Oregon State University Extension Service. So there are 7 community gardens in all in Clatsop County. There has been a development of a 501c3 nonprofit of Friends of Clatsop County Community Gardens. And so then each community can determine what they want to see in their own backyards, front yards, or wrapped around in their neighborhoods. So Seaside got into it 3 years ago, actually through our youth program. Sonny Hunt came and worked with the kids about where does your food come from and what does nutrition mean and how do you do healthy snacks. And then she said, Mary, do you have any land? And I said, oh, no, we're just this little postage stamp right there at the swimming pool. So we walked around the property, and there where the skate park used to be behind the pool was this perfect little sunny spot. Swear, yeah. We put 12 little plots in there, under the understanding that the kids would grow a pizza. Tomatoes, onions, green peppers, and so we put it out there. We had 12 plots, and we thought, okay, well, not only should kids get in this, but people who really love to garden or would like to learn how to garden, because it's a diverse group of people, and you never come out of a garden stressed. So it is. It came up in our survey. People want community gardens, so we put it out there. We had 12 plots, and can you believe it? 12 people showed up. So 3 years ago, we started Sunset Pools. It's now called Sunny Garden under the leadership of Sonny Hunt. Mm-hmm. All those plots are taken. So they are about 8 foot wide and 15 feet long.
Mm.
And you can grow your own stuff. But the reason why it's a community garden, because in the word community, it's unity. So it's this incredible process. So then what happened is that the city was going to put a sidewalk in from Kentucky Fried Chicken to the Coast Hardware store. And when we were talking about it in a large visionary group, there was a person from ODOT that said, we have a grant process that would help you get this going because community gardens popped up. So now what we're talking about is a new park that has a pocket park with it, lighted sidewalks, and 36 community garden plots, and we're calling it the Railroad Garden. So that's what we're here to sort of talk about.
Uh-huh.
So we have 14 that are filled, so that leaves another 20-plus plots. And like you said, it's we want everybody to be able to jump into this beautiful process. And though there's a very modest fee for your plot, it's usually $40. And if that's a barrier, we have people who have stepped forward to make scholarships available. We also have had fundraisers, as you remember, the Abundance Fest.
That's a wonderful party.
It was a party.
It was a party.
We all came together under the idea that we're friends and neighbors. And then we had a great auction and door prizes. And our 4-H served the homemade bread that they made. And we ate food from the Astoria Co-op and fresh caught food from our area. So it really is this element of abundance in our community. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get a huge grant from ODOT. We've been scraping the dirt, added new pieces, put a people are saying, what is happening there on Highway 101? So it's all delineated out in a split rail fence. And then there's this sweet little building that looks like a train car.
car.
Oh.
And so it's in the spirit of our heritage and the unique features of our seaside area, because that used to be the train that would take to and from to market the timber and lumber that was, was done down in the mill ponds. And then it turned into a train that brought the families to our community, and it was coined the Daddy Train. Mm-hmm. So there's a great deal of, real excitement and peace to see actually sidewalks being rolled out, lights being lit up, and garden plots being put out there.
So what was underneath this area? I mean, what was there before you started doing the garden?
It was a mess.
but was it dirt or was it?
Yeah,
sidewalk. Was it concrete?
It was. It was overgrown berries. It was, kind of some debris that the train came in, and just questionable, dirtiness in the soil. And so that was the significance of the grant from ODOT, is that we got a $200,000 grant, plus the Park and Recreation, the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District in our park fund put in another $15,000. So what we did is we scraped down to through the River Rock, because mm-hmm. that area also used to be part of the landscape with the water.
Wow.
So it was round rock and sand and, just a questionable soil. So basically we scraped all that out and then went down quite a ways and then brought in new dirt and then have added several layers on top of it. And then we used the round rock to border all the plots. And then, as people remember, when I say there's never bad weather on the North Oregon coast, just inappropriate dress. But when we get hit by our storms, we have standing water a lot. And so the way that you need to disperse it are through these swells. So with this money from ODOT, we also put a round rock holding kind of place.
A rain garden.
That is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, we used environmentally correct aspects of approaching how do you do runoff. So a problem we had on Highway 101 being flooded actually was driven by this community garden survey mm-hmm. that also tied in with some money that was set aside to build sidewalks. So that was one thing that people said, well, is this my tax dollars? And essentially, this has been done primarily from grants and partnerships. And what we hope to have is a sustainable new program where it will be the energy and the people working the gardens and the aspects of bringing partners in. And what I mean by that is, like, when we needed composting bins, WOW stepped forward and said, oh, we are passionate about our composting. So they have compost containers, and then, they talked about...
So they put some in the garden.
They did. But then they educated us, because you don't want to put that kind of stuff in landfills. That essentially, that is the good green, or, gold, black gold, if you do that right.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? So WOW became a real important partner.
Mm-hmm.
When we wanted to do starts, Costco donated a little greenhouse. That's over at Emerald Heights, which has built that community's capacity with their children and a plot of land. When we wanted to develop a Hammond site, a Home Depot said, well, wait a second, this is exactly what we want to do. And so the land was donated by a woman with the understanding that it would go to this community effort.
Mm-hmm. And what is Home Depot doing?
They took on the sponsorship so that they could do raised beds and do a work crew and, really get in to
help actually build it.
To actually build that structure.
Uh-huh.
And then 7Ds, we have boxes of fresh seeds. So when people need to plant something, we start them out with the free seeds because of this generous donation.
So wait, so in any of the garden, somebody can have access to these seeds. So how do they get them?
Well, so every month we have a meeting of the Friends of Clatsop Community Gardens. So people can come there, find out more, you know, talk about what's growing in their garden, what does grow in our area, and the value of that personal connection or learning by experiential. You might have an experience and Sharon would have an experience, but it's only when we have shared experiences together that actually it goes deeper and we have a broader range. And those are the examples of really, you know, rural areas and people really getting together to respond to what's happening in the quality of our own lives. And this has been spurred on by, you know, what used to be called Victory Gardens or poor farms. You know, back in the Depression.
Okay, so Sharon, so tell us what's happening in Hammond and Warrenton. Last year there was this great Hammond thing, and then the city said, no, that's not good. You stop, even though it had already been cleared, and now it's on again. So what's happening there?
Excuse me. What happened was that we ran into a wetlands issue on the plot of land. Are we on now? Okay. On the plot of land that had been offered by one of our local citizens, a lady named Fernberg. And since then, we have had someone come in and delineate the actual border of the wetlands, which is just a very small portion on the back of the property. So we are free and clear to get moving on the garden again. And as Mary was mentioning, Home Depot has a grant foundation, and through them, we were able to get $7,000 worth of supplies, which is going to put in the fencing and raised beds. And the Home Depot employees have been very busy building the beds, putting the beds together so that they can be brought out to the property. And a bunch of their employees were out there putting in fence posts.
Wow.
Before we got put on hold for a while. So that was sort of a downer, but we're up and running again, and everybody's excited. So,
well, at least it sounds like it'll function for this growing season.
Right.
Of course, you know, one of the things that happens here is we don't actually have a non-growing season. You can grow year-round. I mean, even with that horrible storm, I thought our whole garden was dead, but I came back afterwards, and our chard is charged on all year. So we ate chard all year from our plot in the Hope Garden.
Right. Well, see, and those are these pieces that when you start educating people, not only where your food is coming from and the security of it, but that fascination of watching something grow on a year-round basis, and by gosh, you can eat seasonally. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, again, these are these significant pieces that you plant deep down in a person's, you know, kind of understanding, is that you don't want to be pulling, you know, tomatoes from Chile when it costs that much to get them here, and they don't taste like tomatoes.
No, they don't. They don't taste like tomatoes, and then they don't have necessarily standards.
Exactly.
I mean, you have no idea.
You have no idea. So that's the other piece, is that the Astoria Co-op understands the importance and is our firm, you know, representative to really bring that to one central location. But they believe so strongly in this community garden concept. They have four plots. So they have a plot up in Emerald Heights. They have two in the Warrenton area. And now they have two in the Seaside area. So they can have and offer up.
You mean the co-op is actually growing?
Yes.
What they are doing is they have a pilot program this year to mentor low-income women on how to garden, how to produce food, and part of that program will also include how to prepare that food.
So Marianne Myers, if anybody doesn't know that beautiful woman, is that she is passionate about her food, and she wants to do cooking classes.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, I know.
This is the whole thing altogether.
This is
what we were longing for.
Because we have kids from our special needs programs at the high school helping work. We have kids in our preschool planting seeds. We have kids in our after-school programs that are going to be watching those on a year-round basis. it is the whole meal deal. It is the full cycle. It is the yin and the yang. It is.
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to get in on the conversation, call at 503-325-0010, and we can get you in there. We are listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Mary Blake and
Sharon Anderson.
And Sharon Anderson talking about community gardens. The Astoria Co-op has plots in among others, the Warrenton and Hammond, or just Warrenton?
Well, Warrenton right now. Mary Ann has told me that she'd like to be on the list for the Hammond Garden as well.
Okay.
Yes, I'm really excited about her plans to do that program. And just this last Friday, we were all out in the Warrenton Garden putting in raised beds, because we have a wetland situation almost any place in Warrenton.
Yep.
And the water table is, during the winter, it's on the surface.
Uh-huh.
So we found that our beds were just too wet over the winter. We really couldn't have grown anything over mm-hmm. the winter. So we put in raised beds.
And how raised?
They're a foot. They're a foot high, and we came up with funds through money that was given to us from the Friends of Clatsop Community Gardens, and we got all those in. One of the other gardeners brought in a load of alpaca dung.
Ooh.
That we put on.
How
so
exciting.
We're ready to cook, ready to garden, and. Out in, and all of our beds are taken in the Warrenton Garden. We are full up this time, this year. And but out in Hammond, we will have 30 raised beds. They will be 4x8, so they're not huge, but they are plenty large enough for someone to learn to garden, get going on gardening, and the fee will be $20, so you could easily do two plots mm-hmm. if you want.
Okay, so if people want to get a plot in Hammond, they should call you?
Yes.
Okay, give your number.
861-9806.
Okay, now the thing with a community garden is, if you live in Ocean Park, Washington, you don't want one of those plots. Unless you have grandchildren that live in Hammond and you're going to be over there every day. The community garden needs to be near you.
Yes. And thank you for leading into that. You know, people are wondering about rules and regulations. How rigid are we? And the spirit of community gardening is that, you know, I'm not a gardener. I don't know how to garden, but essentially, you're learning from other gardeners. And also we have resource books, but there are some things that you really do need to understand is that it doesn't take that much time, but you have to maintain your garden so it doesn't get out of control. We don't allow pesticides, and you have to keep it neat and tidy. And so we have what we do. Is that we talk to people and we give them the rules of the road, so to speak. It's that we work together in respect and courtesy and friendship. You know, you don't bring unattended children or your dogs off leash or, you know, trample through during times or just take, you know, somebody's carrots that are better than yours. So there's this piece that actually builds that capacity within people, which are all about your basic manners of mm-hmm. How do you live in a neighborhood.
In the Hope Garden, when somebody comes to the garden and they see that it hasn't rained and it's dry, they don't just water their bed. They water the whole garden.
That's exactly right. And so also the neat thing about the watering piece is that water isn't, you know, just doesn't come from the sky and quench the thirst of our growing gardens. So in almost every single situation here, those agencies that have supported it, like the City of Seaside, is providing the water for free. So when you come in and you use your water, you want to make sure the water's turned off, the hoses are rolled back up, mm-hmm. And you leave it nice and tidy. If mm-hmm. you happen to see you know, something's rolled off or you know, a weed, you know, you want to kind of participate in that pride of mm-hmm. a really beautiful spot. So replacing hoses, taking care, we have all the garden tools, so you don't have to come all loaded up with wheelbarrows or sprayers or trowels or shovels or rakes. We will have those in our sheds. Those sheds are locked. You're given the combination for them. So again, it's open and it's communal. We also you know, we ask people that there is in some gardens the visibility. So on the ones on Highway 101, the concern from elected officials is that would it look bad during the wintertime? And I, you know, when I'm talking to these elected officials, I said, is this a trick question or what? Because what it looked like before with the, you know, it looked like
brambles and,
yeah,
and garbage.
It was ugly. Mm-hmm. So, but they were concerned about what a garden looks like when it goes to sleep or, you know, just rejuvenates itself. So,
well, it really depends what a garden looks like,
right,
in the winter. I mean, a garden, if you abandon it in the fall and don't clean up, it could look bad.
Mm-hmm.
In some community gardens in Portland, like that I used to be involved with, whatever, over 30 years ago, they rototilled in the fall and you,
right,
had to take everything out.
Right.
In the Hope Garden, we don't do that, and you can garden year-round. And we have people that have berries in there, and we're actually planting fruit trees.
Yeah.
We're making it a much more like your home garden.
Yes.
Right.
And so the rules are different.
Yes. And Sunset Pool, behind the pool, because it's out of the public's view, we're doing that as well. And we're starting to plant the blueberries. We're replacing, you know, trees that do produce fruit, because if we do have shared fruit, that's the other piece, is that it will go into the community. And one of the aspects of some of our people who have adopted plots is that they literally are growing for our food bank.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked with them and they said, oh, please don't do any more lettuce. We get plenty of lettuce, but what we need are, you know,
some
the
root
potatoes
crops, like
and
carrots,
root, right,
and potatoes. And that is the another facet of the garden out in Hammond, is that we will have a sizable plot for the food bank specifically.
Now, if people want to just, if they say, well, I want to spend some time on that, I don't want to do it at home, but I want to do it in a public place, can they just, like, is there going to be, are there work days where they can say, oh, we need weeding on next Saturday, or we need planting on the following Tuesday?
For me specifically, if you give me a call, I will get you on my phone list or my email list or however it works best,
mm-hmm,
and contact you whenever there's going to be a work party.
Mm-hmm. We had a work party on a Sunday in the Hope Garden to spread compost. But, mm-hmm, and it was at 3 o'clock on a Sunday. This was about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. And I was the only one home. I think it was during spring break. And the rest of my family was off surfing in California. So I got my shovel and my whatever and my wheelbarrow, because we needed all the wheelbarrows we could. So I brought my wheelbarrow. It was pouring rain. So I waited till about 3:15 and I went down. I was the only one there. So I spread compost until I was tired of doing it and went home. Nobody else came.
Mm-hmm.
But and that pile of compost is gradually getting smaller and smaller. Now we have some bark for the
pathways,
right.
Yeah.
But I was really worried that when we first started coming, you know, when it started warming up, the weeds were already starting to go to seed. And that's
right.
The worst thing in a garden is to let weeds go to seed, because
right,
then you've got more. So we went in there and spent part of a day and just pulled weeds through the whole garden so that
right,
wouldn't be such an issue later.
Right. That's what we did when we were putting in the raised beds, is while some people were working on putting raised beds together, others were weeding.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from one bed to another.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home that evening, my partner Chuck looked at me and said, you know, I looked over and there were three of you women weeding on a bed and talking about all sorts of things. He said, it reminded me of my aunts in Pennsylvania and their quilting bees. You know, this is what women, you know, there's another opportunity for women to be together, work together,
mm-hmm,
and communicate.
Mm-hmm. It certainly with gardening, that happens.
It was wonderful.
So
yeah,
it all depends on how you look at the opportunities that present themselves. Are the weeds going to take over? Or are the weeds going to, you know, bring us together and have conversations that we
right,
wouldn't normally have?
Absolutely.
And so that was the piece, too, is that the Park and Recreation, speaking on behalf of that beautiful institution, is our Sunset Pool got started because we had the help and support of the staff there to, you know, kind of lift us up, because a lot of our first-time gardeners were seniors and they couldn't rototill and they couldn't lay down the rock and they couldn't, you know, get things ready. So the level of appreciation that went out to people who loved and cared and put the work ready to get the gardening going just help. So we put money and time and resources into it. But now after 3 years, it is, rolling and percolating and people are bringing connections. So, it's again, the emphasis, the understanding of our gardens tell us all of our, lifelong lessons. You just don't put a seed in the, in the ground and expect to pop the lettuce head off tomorrow.
Right.
Is that it's how do you care for your garden is what you're going to get. And that's that Success 101, progressive realization of worthwhile dreams and goals.
Okay, let's go to how many spots are in the Hope that are available in the Hope Garden, because I know they're not all taken, because we have two this year.
So right now...
we as in my family.
Okay, so the garden manager is Cindy Barlow, and her telephone number is 503-338-1273.
And how many spots?
So
there may be one.
Oh, okay.
I think they're down to one.
Okay, and Emerald Heights?
The Emerald Heights.
Emerald Heights, I'm not sure how many spots they have open, but I do know they have available spots. And that garden manager is Yvonne Jacobson, and she's at 325-4979.
Now, if you missed any phone numbers, just give us a call when we get off the air, and you can get them.
And we also have a sweet little brochure that, again, those people who are timid or first-time gardeners or are, wonderful gardeners, and they just don't have sunshine in their in their backyards,
house, yes.
We have sunshine all over the place in our gardens.
Now, we've got this gorgeous shirt, T-shirt that Mary brought, a community garden T-shirt. If you want this T-shirt, give us a call here and you can wear this Friends of the Community Garden, and it lists all the gardens, and on the front it has
a radish
with its leaves. It's come grow with us. It's really cute. So give us a call.
This is another example. Annie McBride, a local artist, had been reading about it, and she said, "Mary, I'd like to donate my skills to your efforts, and I do art." And so she presented the come grow with us, and then basically on the back it lists all of our gardens and also concludes it by a great place to grow together. So it's on wheat.
So where can people get the shirt?
Well, these, when you become a member, you get a plot. We actually get these to you.
Really? Everybody?
Oh, yeah, we have, because we want people to back their gardens and so wear this, and so people can, read their chest, read their
That's
back,
it.
And have fun with it and have a good, beautiful, fun T-shirt.
Okay, so... You have been listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and I've been with Mary Blake and Sharon Anderson. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And it's been great. Thanks.
Yeah.